This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا إنك سميع مجيب الدعاء. ومن يعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع وقلب لا يخشع ونفس لا تشبع ودعاء لا يسمع. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Welcome again everyone to our Tuesday night program. جزاكم الله خير for joining us. Again, would love to know where are you joining us from, and if you have any suggestions, any comments. As I have said last week, actually this program, this series is as a result of your request. Walillah alhamd, got a couple of requests, one of them especially from a sister who wrote a very nice, beautiful email requesting to learn the Islamic way. What does Islam teaches us? How do we handle the unfortunate events of losing someone we love, or basically death, and what should we do after that? So jazakumullah khair, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. What we shared last week, if you all remember, we talked about death, and we said that each one of us, كل نفس ذائقة الموت, every single soul will taste death. Taste meaning it will go through this process. Nobody will escape this. And if anyone should have escaped, and if Allah willed, he would absolutely have been able to do that, subhanah, was the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And we all know the most beloved creation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, passed away. So if he passed away, why do we think we will live forever? And unfortunately, all of us, and even some scholars says it's from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we don't remember death every single minute, because otherwise we'll be paralyzed. It will be very difficult to live always, constantly with this thought. However, what happens is the opposite, that we are, most of us, majority of the human beings, are absolutely forgetting this reality, as if it is not going to come to me or to you or to us. So we don't want these two extremes, that we're going to think of it every minute, that it basically will paralyze us. And then at the same time, I don't want to be completely forgetful and heedless about the fact, and I live my life as if I am living here forever. And a very wise saint man said, Al-aqil, the wise person, has three, or does three things. She or he has three characters, or does three things. Al-aqil, man, عمر قبره I'm sorry. First thing, العاقل, the wise person, من ترك الدنيا قبل أن تتركه. The wise person, she or he, is that person who leaves this life, meaning قبل أن تتركه, leaves this life before the life leaves him, meaning I live in this life, but I am not so attached and focused on this life. And what we mean by life is the material side of the life, المال والبنون, children and wealth. And we are so focused on it as if we are living here forever. And we all know we are not. So العاقل, the wise person, من ترك الدنيا قبل أن تتركه. Leave this life, live in this life without being attached to it and focused only on it as if we're not going to go anywhere else. Before it will leave us. As we just said, no one is going to live here forever. That's one. So the wise person, man or a woman, leave this life before life leaves him or her. One. Second, وَعَمَّرَ قَبْرَهُ قَبْلَ أَن يَدْخُلَهُ. Furnish, flourish, prepare his grave or her grave before she enters it. And how do you prepare the grave? And I'm not talking about the wise man or the scholar when he said this. He doesn't mean that you're going to prepare the grave, dig the grave. Actually, what the question should come, what are the furnace, what furniture will enter with me to the grave? None of what I have in this world, nothing in my home, nothing in my garage, nothing in my kitchen, nothing in my living room, nothing in my closet. None of this is going to come with me. So the furniture of the grave is not what it comes to my mind and yours when we talk about furniture. No, the furniture of the graveyard, of the grave, is number one, is actually good deeds. Al-amal as-salih. One of the specific good deed of the grave is actually Quran. Reading the Quran, memorizing, reviewing, spending time with the Quran. So, عمر قبره قبل أن يدخله. You prepare the grave. And one of the du'as we say for the deceased is اللهم اجعل قبره أو قبرها روضا رياض الجنة. Ya Allah, make his or her grave a piece of Jannah, a piece of the garden of Jannah. So for me, I want to prepare. I want to come to this grave and I am ready. Like imagine when you come to the house and the house is beautifully done and furnished and finished beautifully, how happy you will be. This is in this life. And I am going to go and live in that grave. We all know that. It's a reality. We cannot move away from it and we cannot run away from it, let alone escape from it. So I am going to furnish my grave with the good deeds. And you name it, it's a good deed. But as I said, specifically for the grave is Al-Quran. So Al-Aqil, the wise man or a woman, من ترك الدنيا قبل أن تتركه. Leave this life, meaning attachments, focus, fighting, hating people, severing relationships, disobeying Allah because of collecting and more and more. So leave the dunya before the dunya leave us. Second, furnish and prepare the grave before we enter it. And third, وَأَرْضَى مَوْلَاهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَلْقَاهُ. He or she, please her Lord or his Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before I will meet him. And what do I do to please Allah? What does Allah want from me and you? So he will be pleased with me and you. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُمْ. May Allah will be pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. What does he want from me? That you obey him and you do not disobey him. وَأَنْ يُشْكَرْ فَلَا يُكْفَرْ. You are grateful, I am grateful, we are grateful to him, subhanah, and not ungrateful. وَأَنْ يُذْكَرْ فَلَا يُنْسَى. That you remember him and not forget him. If I do these three, bi-ithnillah, by his grace, I am qualified. I just can't say he will be pleased with me, ya Rabbi Ameen, but I have done what he wants me to do. Obey him and not disobey him. Be grateful and not ungrateful and remember him. So let's go back again. The reality of death is a reality. Wherever we want to run away, it's going to come. Right? قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. Allah said this in the Quran. Say that death that you are running away from, you're going to meet it. You're going to meet him if you want to use that. No escape from that. As we spoke last week, is the only reality, yaqeen, certainty, that we all know. No question about it. No if and but. No hesitation. Only one. Everything else can change except death. So that's number one. I need to get ready inside me, morally, mentally, that this is going to come. And let alone if I have someone who's sick or terminal, as we use the word in medicine. So number one, get ready. أكثروا من ذكري هذه اللذات. As the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam taught us, remember abundantly a lot the destroyer of joy. And he didn't say al-maut. Then he said al-maut. He called it first the destroyer of joy. The one, the thing that will destroy you. Meaning destroy every joy. Because think of yourself, all of us, let's think about someone, we just came back from a funeral. You're not in the mood. We don't even in the mood to eat. And let alone to see something, let alone to joke, let alone, things changes because the perspective change. When you see the grave, you know for sure, one day, me and you will be there. SubhanAllah. Now, as we have talking about the death, it's one of the sunnahs that all of us needs to remember. As death come close to us, we need always, 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 always to have good thinking and expectation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Istihbabu husnu dhanni billah. Always think. It is not the time to think that Allah will punish me, and let alone I will say to someone. It's not the time. The time is that Allah Ghafoor Rahim, when someone is dying inside me, Allah will never let me down. Allah is all forgiving. Allah is all merciful. So the time I think of Allah Shadidul Iqab, Allah has severe punishment. No. And one of the things we have always to remember in general, and specifically at the time of death, ana ya'inda husna dhanni abdi bi falyadhun bi ma sha. Allah said this in a hadith Qudsi. I, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am to my servant as he or she think of me. Let him or her think of me what they want. I, Allah is saying this, I am to my servant, she or he, as they think of me. So I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful at the bed death. And Allah will say, I am merciful. I am not going to say, what I'm going to do? I missed all this. I didn't do that. No. I will say, Ya Allah, innaka ghafurur rahim. So always it's a good idea that even when we think of someone, we are losing someone that we love, and we're going to think of God, how she's going to be in the grave or how he's going to be in the grave, bring this to you. Have good expectation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not want to punish me and you. مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. Allah said this in Surah Al-Nisa, in the chapter of the woman. What Allah will get from punishing me and you? He only wants two things. إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. If you are grateful and you are a believer. So we need to remember this. Now, also, if we are close to somebody who is dying, actually a lot of dua. A lot of dua for as the person is dying. A lot of dua. It's very emotional. I'm sure many of you listening to me, you have seen this. You've been in this situation. Could be someone very dear to you. But remember, in that moment, and I'm going to focus on this or maybe repeat this point more than once today. When we are in a situation that we are about to lose a very loved one, a loved one, don't think of yourself. Think of that person. What I should do and say that benefit him or her, not what I want to say or what I want to feel or what I am feeling. Think of him. You love him. You love her. And you want the best for them. And at them, she or he, at that point, they can't do much to themselves. And again, if you have seen a dying person, cannot even move their hands. So what I need to say and do, everything that will benefit that dying, beloved dying person. And in fact, this will help a lot in the grief process. It will really help a lot when I feel in me that I have done everything I can. I'm so grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he allowed me and facilitate for me to do everything that will benefit this dying person. So a lot of dua for the person who is dying. Also, reading Surah Yasin on the dying person, reading Quran on the dying person, a lot of dua as the person is dying. And of course, keep reminding that person, whether awake or not awake. Again, that will help a lot. Help you, the person afterward in your grief. Remind them, keep, we say talqeen, keep saying La ilaha illallah in their ears. We don't know. There is a lot of unseen, unknown when the person goes through the dying process. Nobody died and came back. So we don't know. We know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. We know what the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam told us. And we know what the sunnah. So what the sunnah is you keep reminding that dying person, even if they don't say a word, even if they are not responding, but they are still alive. La ilaha illallah. And there's a hadith about that. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam said, laqinu mawtakum. Teach your dying people, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. And subhanAllah, La ilaha illallah, this word, no God, no deity, but Allah, has so much comfort power at that moment. I went through this not long time ago. And subhanAllah, ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'inu al-qulub. Verily by the remembrance of Allah, hearts reach serenity, hearts feel peace in peace. And subhanAllah, every time you get very emotional, because that's a very dear person in front of your eyes, dying. The moment you start remembering La ilaha illallah, the moment you start saying the words, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as if you feel much more in peace, subhanAllah. Imagine this is us. What will the dying person feel? So dua, dua, and dua. And dua. One of the things, I don't want to make it as a fiqh class, but there is some things that we ordinary people may face, and especially for us living in a non-Muslim country, and you may be the only Muslim person in that hospital, or you are the only person allowed to be with the dying person. So it's good to learn as much as you can. What, again, beneficial to this Muslim dying person, and also will help me. Also, when the person dies, a couple of quick things we do in the sunnah, close the eye. If the mouth is open, cover it or tie it. But the most important thing that we immediately, all of us, needs to remember and say is Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah we belong, and to Him we will go back. To Allah we belong, and to Allah we will go back. It has an, again, amazing impact. And Allah said this in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. This is a Surah Al-Baqarah. The verse starts by, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. We will test you, بِشَيْءٍ, little bit, مِنَ الْخَوْفِ, fear, وَالْجُوعِ, hunger, وَنَقَصٍ, and less, نَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ, in wealth, وَالثَّمَرَاتِ, fruits, وَالْأَنْفُسِ, souls, human being, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, and give glad tidings to those who are patient. And Allah described them, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Who are the صَابِرِينَ? الَّذِينَ الصَّابِرِينَ are those people who says إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That I am, and it makes you so patient when you say this also. SubhanAllah. So it's a very hard, one, probably the toughest moment a human being will go through is when he see a beloved one dying or dead. Or died. The moment you remember Allah, it makes you again so calm. So when the person already died, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, to Allah we belong, and to Allah we return. So immediately, and we need to teach ourselves, so this comes frequently, becomes natural. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And especially when, again, we go through this when we feel so much in pain, when we feel crying and in pain at the moment or even later on. keep reminding, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah we belong, and to Allah we will go back. Subhanallah. We touched briefly last week about the crying. Can I cry? Should I cry? Is it allowed? As they say, al-buka'u 'ala al-mayyit. Can I cry? The first answer is absolutely yes. But even before I say absolutely yes, it's very natural. Yet to see a human being that it has lost immediately a dear person, she or he, to him or her, and they are not crying. It's very natural. It's actually, as even medicine will tell you, it's very healthy. It's very healthy because it's a sign, or it's an expression of grief. It's an expression of pain. And we need to express our feelings because that's a very painful moment. And as we said last week, when Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, his son Ibrahim, he was carrying him, and he was dying actually. And then he was crying. And the Sahaba looked at him, Ya Rasulullah, meaning you? And he said, Innaha rahma. It's a sign of mercy that Allah put it in the hearts of the human being when they cry. It's not weakness. Absolutely, it's not weakness. It's rahma. It's mercy. We're humans. We are full of feelings. So let us not try to act and put a bold face and I'm strong. Strength has nothing to do with crying, because crying is a natural emotion. And crying is actually expressing my feelings. And expressing the feelings is not a sign of weakness at all. However, having said that, is how do we cry, and what comes with the crying, is that where we need to be careful. And all scholars have agreed that the crying is absolutely allowed. And there's many hadiths of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. He says the meaning of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish because of the crying or because the heart is in pain and sorrow, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish by this. And he pointed to the tongue, meaning what we say at the time. So I can't say, oh, she was so young and she left. I can't say that. It's a decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah al-Aleem, Allah all-knowing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every decree, he decree is just. So I can't say she was too young, she didn't live that long, where did she go and left me, or where did he go and left me? I can't do that. What I say, that's why I kept reminding you, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Another one we say, which usually you say it to as part of condolences, and we will come to it, is Lillahi ma akhad wa lahu ma a'ta. To Allah belong what he took, and to him belongs what he gives. That's another concept we all have to keep reminding ourselves, that we don't own anything in this life. It's very hard to live this way because it's mine. It's my house. It's my children. It's my car. I worked hard for it. I brought the money. I did this. Reality of the matter is everything is owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he loaned us this. He gives it to us. But as a loan, it's not going to stay with us, because we're going to go back to him and it's not going to come with us. So لِلَّهِ مَا أَخَذْ. To Allah belong what he took. We are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He created us. So crying is healthy, is a good sign. It is not haram. Is it not makruh? Absolutely not. It's actually on the contrary. And as we said, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam cried when his son died, when his granddaughter died. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin. Where is the issue comes in? Because again, what we are learning is the Islamic way of mourning and dealing with death. That I am going to go through process, that I want to please Allah with it, but also what is allowed for me to help me in this process to cope. So show your emotions and cry. That's fine. The one that is not allowed is what we call it wailing, meaning crying very loud, making noises, saying things that is not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I just said, too young, too early. Why? I wish if I had done this, they would not have died. We don't do this. Because every soul, the moment it was created, the same time it was created, how long it will live. Kullu nafsin manfusa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created every soul, He created when it's going to be created, when it's going to die, shaqiyun wa sa'id. It's going to be happy or it's going to be unhappy. So no wailing, no saying things that is not pleasing to Allah. Rather, saying things that is pleasing to Allah. And we need to remember, what I say is going to make the beloved person that I just lost either happy or unhappy. Subhanallah, there's a hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, said, whosoever will on a deceased person, that person, the deceased, will be suffering because of this. What does that mean? Meaning, the dead person, the person who just died, will feel, again, we don't know the hereafter. We don't know what happens in the grave. We don't know what the dead people hear or see. We don't know. This is, again, in the ilmul ghayb, unseen. But these are all from the hadiths of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the sunnah of my and your beloved Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. They say, the meaning of the hadith, that the deceased person, the person who just died, will feel pain. How? We don't know. When his relatives or loved ones cry, but not cry, wail. So not crying is actually wailing. Wailing. And then meaning that, another saying, they say it's to Abu Huraira, it says that what we do at the time of the death of that person will be presented to the dying person. Will be presented to the deceased, not to the dying. The deceased, and it's a hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, and he said, "Inna a'malakum tu'radu ala aqaribikum wa ashairikum min al-amwat." Your actions will be presented to your deceased relatives. فَإِنْ كَانَ خَيْرًا اسْتَبْشَرُوا بِهِ. If what you are doing is good, then the dead people will be happy and they will feel, and it's like a glad tiding to them. وَإِنْ كَانَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. And if it was not that, قَالُوا, they say, the dead person will say, اللهم لا تمتهم حتى تهديهم كما هديتنا. Ya Allah, don't let them die until you make them guided as you guided us. Meaning, when I am in that moment of pain and sorrow and feeling down, I need always my focus is about the person that I just lost, not about me. And what I can do to my best ability to give them the best I can give them and gift them so they will be even better and happier. And one of the things I need is what I say. Everything I say is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I need to be trained, or somebody in that gathering, normally there's more than one person, has always to remind everybody. We don't say anything but what pleases Allah. And again, what I have found is once you say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, even those who were about to say, or their voice will be loud, subhanAllah, the word calm human beings. And I've seen it. A mother lost her child. A husband lost his wife. In many situations, even children lost their parents. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allah said it in the Quran. SubhanAllah. And what he says is absolutely the best for us. So that's one. And the wailing person in certain cultures, they bring that woman to the gathering and starts wailing about the dead person. And it is a sign of ignorance, of jahiliyyah. That's what they did before Islam. They hire people. And it still is done in certain parts of the world. They hire people to come and basically wail about the dead person. And Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, this is Ummu Atiyya said, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam took a covenant upon us women that we should not wail about the dead people. and specifically about the woman. And he said also, alayhi salatu wasalam, two voices, sawtani mal'unani, subhanallah, sawtani mal'unani fi dunya wal akhirah. Two voices will be cursed in this life and the hereafter. Sawtani mal'unani fi dunya wal akhirah. صوت نغمة عند نعمة وصوت ورنة عند مصيبة. They say, this is an Imam al-Bazzar narrated this hadith. They say, the sound of a flute when there is a time of prosperity and the sound ورنة عند مصيبة, cry, meaning shouting at time of calamity. Two voices, ملعونان, they are cursed in this life and the hereafter. Two sounds. One is the sound of mizmar, of a flute, music, at time of prosperity, and a loud cry, run, loud cry, loud voice, at time of death. So I need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah, Ya Allah, keep me strong. Ya Allah, make me say everything that pleases you and do everything that pleases you. It's not easy, but if I keep turning to the one who makes the hard thing easy, it's going to happen. Anytime I turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in everything, not necessarily only at time of death, anything that I find it's so difficult, impossible, you don't know, and I will say this to myself and to everyone, turn to Him, subhanahu, and He will make it easy. And sometimes you look at yourself and you say, I don't know how I went through this. Because He helped me. He helped you. Al-Qadir, Al-Qadir, the capable, the always capable, subhanah. So, crying is absolutely allowed. It's healthy. It's one of the external signs of grief. Express your emotion, however, without saying anything that displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and without loud cry. The person died. How long should be? How long it should be the mourning in Islam? And again, if you look at cultures, it has nothing to do with our religion. Mourning for a dead person, the relatives, is 3 days. It, except the wife when she loses her husband, it's 4 months and 10 days. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. وَالَّذِينَ يَتَوَفَّوْنَ مِنْكُمْ وَيَذَرُونَ أَزْوَاجًا يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةَ أَشْهُرٍ وَعَشْرًا. Allah said, this is Surah Al-Baqarah. Those who die and leave wives behind them, wife behind them, behind him, يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةَ أَشْهُرٍ وَعَشْرًا. They stayed, observed themselves in mourning period, which is 4 months and 10 days. Everybody else, when they lose someone, the mourning period is only 3 days. Is only 3 days. SubhanAllah. Another thing that we do, again, when you are going through this, or if somebody very close to you is going through this, why do I need to learn this? Because I'm going to help them. When I know these things, when somebody goes, when you are in the middle of this calamity, sometimes this may, you may not remember it. You need someone to remind you. And be, as we have said many times, be a key of goodness and a key to lock evil. Don't be a key to open evil. So remind them, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا إله إلا الله. Dhikr of Allah calms people. Another sunnah to do is actually to cook for the family of the deceased. Again, when I do this, let's say it's my uncle, right? When I am gonna cook, or they are my neighbors, which is very common. If they are my neighbor, then I am cooking for them, I am helping them. And Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam said, isma'u li Ali Ja'far, cook for the people, the family of Ja'far. The death has kept them busy. Unfortunately, subhanAllah, unfortunately, And I still see it, maybe not in the West, but in the East especially. People cook. The person who lost a beloved one, they cook for the people who are coming to give condolences. And sometimes they go way overboard. And none of this is the sunnah. None of this is the sunnah at all. The mourning you come is actually to remind the family to keep the, number one is haqqul Muslim. It's the right of the Muslim. And number two is actually to give and to make the people feel better, that the people care about them, people wants to help them. So I'm not going to be, I am the one who's going through this calamity, and I'm going to be worried about food. How many people is going to come, how much I am going to cook, how much it's going to cost me, all this. Not from the sunnah. We need to go back to our original sunnah. We should not cook for them. We should not, if I am the person who I lost a loved one, I should not cook to anybody or order food or pay money at all. Is the people should do it to me. And one of the hikmah of this, which was really nice, they say, is actually because sometimes the person, which is very common, those persons, especially if it is hard, it felt hard on the person who lost a beloved one, they don't even eat. And this is one of the things, the support you give to people who have lost a beloved one is actually help them eat, help them sleep, help, comfort them in the way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when you are asking them to eat, remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing will keep the family when they lose a beloved one. Keep them strong and take it easier other than the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. And every time I see this, I say, subhanallah, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when a calamity befall them, they say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah we belong, and to Allah we are going back. One of the sunan actually, also, that even before we die, it's actually recommended, subhanAllah, to prepare the kafan, to prepare the shroud, and even the place, even the graveyard. It's absolutely sunnah. Maybe in the Muslim world, you don't see this a lot, but here in the West, it's very common. It's very common. You want to make sure you are buried in a Muslim cemetery. Again, when we live in a Muslim country, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, we don't worry about these things. But when you live in a non-Muslim country, you want to know where you are going to be buried. Are you going to be buried in the Sunnah way, as a Muslim, in the Sunnah way? Will there people going to be coming and visiting you? Meaning something, when you go to a Muslim cemetery, even here, right? Most of the time, you don't go and visit only one. You go and visit as many of the deceased they were there, and you give them salam. So it is Sunnah. It is recommended that you prepare for your death. As I said, al-aqilu man, the wise person who prepares the grave before he gets into it. And the preparing the grave is in two ways. Preparing physically, you buy the lot, you buy the kafan, the shroud, you put in your wasiyah, in your will, who should, if you can, if it is possible, who should be there for washing the body. You want people who are righteous people, who again will remember Allah, who knows how to do it the sunnah way, all these things. The more you prepare for yourself, easier will be on your people, on your relatives. And that's why the will is one of the sunan that every Muslim should have, a will. And the will is not about money only, or the children, or the wealth. Part of the will is this, where I am going to be buried, who's going to be washing my body, who's going to be there for the shroud. You spell it out, especially if you are living in a non-Muslim family or with a non-Muslim community. It's like, mourning is 3 days. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't cook food. Don't serve. All these things. And life will be much easier for the people who comes after us. And I am. My intention is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to follow the sunnah. One of the beautiful things, And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give it to all of us, Ya Rabbi, Ameen, is that you want to die in one of the two masajid, the two harameen, in the two sanctuaries. Istihbab, it is highly recommended. It's highly commanded. It is highly wished that somebody will die either in Mecca or in Medina. It says Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu made this dua. He made two duas. SubhanAllah. And he said, this is actually his daughter said, Hafsa, may Allah be pleased with her. She said, he said, made dua for himself. Sayyidina Umar, Umar ibn al-Khattab, he said, Allahumma rizqni shahada fi sabilika waj'al mawti fi baladi rasulik. Allahumma rizqni shahada fi sabilik waj'al mawti fi baladi rasulik. Ya Allah, grant me a state of martyrdom for your sake. Meaning, make me die as a shaheed, as a martyr, for your sake. And the second dua he made for himself, Sayyidina Umar, second dua is, and make me die in the city of your Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And guess what? Allah gave him both. Allah gave him both, subhanah. He died as a shaheed, he was killed, and you all know, and then he was buried. And not only in the city of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, next to Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar and Sayyidina Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. SubhanAllah. And when he was stabbed, he actually sent to a Sayyida Aisha, taking her permission that will she permit that he buried next to Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And look at Sayyida Aisha, and she said it. It's like, I was hoping I will be there. But she said yes. So again, part of the things we need to do is also make dua for our beloved and for ourselves. To Allah, give us husnul khatima, a good end. Give us a death that is pleasing to Him. People who are righteous at the time of the death. People who will remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who will help my family to go through this difficult time. People who will follow the sunnah in my process of preparing, of death, of washing, of graveyard and all this, subhanAllah. One of the most painful, if I will not say the painful, the most painful death is the loss of a child. Is the loss of a child. May Allah help every parent go through this. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. Young or old, of course, older is harder, but it is very difficult. And that is why, subhanAllah, specifically, there is sayings about losing children. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam knows through him. Allah taught him how difficult it is. And he says, مَا مِنَ النَّاسِ says Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, and Imam al-Bukhari narrated that. And he said, مَا مِنَ النَّاسِ مِنْ مُسْلِمْ يُتَوَفَّى لَهُ ثَلَاثَ لَمْ يَبْلُغُ الْحَنَثَ أو الْحِنْثَ, I'm sorry, لَمْ يَبْلُغُ الْحِنْثَ إِلَّا أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةِ بِفَضْلِ رَحْمَتِهِ إِيَّاهُمْ. No Muslim lose three children, three, they have not reached the age of puberty, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter him Jannah as a result of their rahmah, of their intercession, actually. SubhanAllah. And another one is Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. As some of you may know, he had a one day in the week where he taught women only. And this hadith is the woman told Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya Rasulullah, make one day for us only for teaching. And he said, yes. And then in this day, at one of these classes, he gave them this admonition. And he said, what any woman, any mother that loses three of her children, those children will be her shield from the hellfire. Any mother that she loses three children, those children are shield from the hellfire. And then a woman asked him, and she said, Ya Rasulullah, oh, how about if she loses two children, not three? And he said, if she loses two, they are also for her as a a shield from the hellfire. One of the things we have to remember also, أَعْمَارُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ, we as Muslims, we are a nation, and I'm talking about Muslims, not nationality. We don't live long. We don't live long. And the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam said this, and this is an Imam al-Tirmidhi, and narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira, who said, أَعْمَارُ أُمَّتِي, my ummah will live between 60 and 70. My ummah will live between 60 and 70, and much less of them, among them, that will be more. They live longer, meaning majority of the Muslims will live between 60 and 70. Much less numbers will live longer than 70. Meaning we all need to get ready. We all need to get ready, and we all need to get ready in a way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the other things, and I am not going to go through a lot of fiqh part, because the idea is actually how do we go through, and there is probably we'll do part three is next week if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow us, is how about what do we do when the janazah comes up? So the mayit now is washed, the body is washed, and the body is shrouded, and now they brought the janazah, or the deceased, brought him to the place, to the masjid, for salah. They say there's two opinions about that. That some says it's recommended to stand as the janazah, as the deceased is being entered to the mosque. Some says no, it's a different opinion. But the idea is, when we see this scene, we all have to remember one day we will be there. And the question always have to come, am I ready? Am I ready? SubhanAllah, as a Bedouin asked the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and said, Ya Rasulullah, mata as-sa'a? Ya Rasulullah, when is the hour? When is the hour? And the Rasul alayhi salatu wa sallam responded in the meaning, what have you prepared for it? What have you prepared for it? And then the Bedouin responded, the meaning of, I have not prepared a lot other than I love Allah and I love His Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam responded, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. The person will be there with the person he loves. So when I see the deceased is being brought in for salah, the first thing that has to come to my mind, even if they are the most beloved people to me, and it's again very difficult moment, is one day I will be there. And am I ready? What I have prepared? What does my book have? Which one is heavier? Which scale is heavier? Is it my right side or it's my left side? فَأَمَّا مَنْ تَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Those who will have a heavy, heavy scale, those are the one who are successful. Many, many ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the Quran. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. Those who will be given their books in their right hand. فَيَقُولُ هَا أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَ. And that person, he or she will say, come on in, read my book. So death in general is a reminder to all of us. Reminder, it's a daily reminder, if not hourly reminder, that there is, this life is temporary. One day we are leaving. One day we are going to go. And when I see, when I lose a beloved one, it's a reminder to me. It's a reminder to me that I need to get ready. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayh, sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi tasleeman kathira. Inshallah, we will do a third part next week. And if you have any questions, feel free to send it to us at Jannah Institute office@jannahinstitute.org, and I will be more than happy if I can to respond. Also, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, there is a lot of requests we received for our, we usually do it before Ramadan. It's a 5 weeks course. I will be teaching starting on the 26th of February, not this coming Saturday, the Saturday after. It's the fiqh of menstruation, make becoming easier, inshallah. And I normally, what I cover both as a as an obstetrician and gynecologist, so from the medical point of view and also from the fiqh of a view, it's open to everyone. And usually, I mean, the ages is, it's open for women, it's open for all ages, 9 and above, or the woman who about to get their, or the girls who are about to get their cycle. It's highly recommended that you start teaching them about this. Inshallah, we'll see you there. Jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa an. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi tasliman kathira.